Well, it's Advent next week, and you can't avoid the fact that Christmas is here. And unusually this year, I'm being quite organised, and I've been ordering lots of presents on Amazon. And as a man, I love Amazon because I don't have to go around the shops. And as an introvert, I don't have to go in all the crowds and everything. And I like that, and I can research and everything. But I particularly like it when you get the boxes that come from Amazon. They all come packed up in these boxes, and you know exactly what's in these boxes, and you open them up, and it's like Christmas before Christmas, even if the presents aren't yours. But I love these boxes, and boxes, you very rarely got presents like that in the post, but these days, the parcel industry has exploded as you buy things on the internet now. But it's these boxes that I like because I know what's in them, I've ordered them, and I've got control of them, and everything's nicely, and I can tell what it is by the size of the box and things like that. And sometimes we like to do that with God. We like to pop him in a box. Then there are clear sides, there's a top, there's sides. We know what's in the box and it's quite safe and it's sealed up and God is nice and safe. And if God is safe, so are we. We're nice and comfortable. And the reason we like to do that is because we like to control God. We don't want to own up to that, but we do, don't we? Because if we can control God, then we can control our own lives, and that will make us feel safe with our money, with our house, with our family. If we've got God under control, we know exactly what he's like, what he's going to say, what he's going to do, then we've got him under control and we feel safe. But God isn't like that, and he doesn't like being put in a box. And God is so much bigger than that. And we ask questions, don't we? Sometimes you do it, you think, oh, I don't understand why God does this, or don't understand God does that. And we kind of want an answer always. We want to know an answer. Why does God do this? Why did he allow that to happen? Why doesn't he do something about that? Now, questioning God is not a bad thing to do. But we have to be careful that we're not telling God that he's wrong. And that sometimes we simply have to go, okay, I don't get this. But I'm going to accept it because you're God and I'm not. You see, that is the question, who is God? Well, God is the one who created the universe. And I didn't create the universe, so I'm not God. That's the different definition of who God is. He can do what I cannot do or anyone else can do. And he created things before nothing was there. But we like to put God in a box. We like to put him into a controlled zone so we can feel safe. And indeed, it says in verse 4, not to make an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or waters below. So God even uses creation to say, this in this second commandment, don't make anything out of creation. And he uses creation to say, look, I'm the creator. Therefore, only worship the creator, not the created. Don't worship anything in creation, only worship the creator. And that's why we worship him. Sometimes people say, why do we worship God? Well, he's the creator and he's God. He doesn't need our worship, but he should be worshipped. And there's damage to be done if we're not willing to accept him. Ever seen a small 5-year-old boy in control of his parents? It does happen, doesn't it? And I've certainly seen it. And it's not good, is it? When you've got a 5-year-old dictating what a parent should do. Why is that not good? Because a 5-year-old cannot understand the world he lives in or she lives in. A parent, to some extent, has a better chance of it. But a 5-year-old doesn't. A 5-year-old will want what it wants. And it's not always what is right or good for it. Its understanding is limited. And we are much the same. Our understanding is limited. God's is infinite. I don't get why God does something. But I must worship him and not try and control him or make and create my own God out of physical things. And I'll come to say a bit more what that looks like. It also says in verse 5 that God is a jealous God. Now, I want to emphasize, jealousy is not a bad thing. Our society somehow, it's when we muddle up jealousy and envy. Jealousy is wanting something that belongs to you and somebody else is taking from you. Envy is wanting something that doesn't belong to you for yourself. So it would be quite right for Joe, if I am romantic towards another woman, it's right that Joe should be jealous because I've given my romance and my love to Joe for life. So it'd be right that she's jealous if I give it elsewhere. And so God is jealous when we give our love, because that's what worship is, love. It's an act of love towards our Creator. When we give that act of love to somebody else or something else, a created thing rather than God, and by that I mean first. We're called to worship God first. We are called to love. I'm called to love Joe, but I'm called to love God first because Joe is created and God is the creator. Romans 1:25 from our reading says this: they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the creator, who is ever praised. They exchanged for a lie. It's a lie to think you can put God in a box and to worship and control God by having something, another God. That's what I mean by putting God in a box. We can control him. We worship other things in our lives because that makes us feel in control. And you might say, well, I don't have any golden calves in my house. But it's not about just golden calves. It's about things that we put first before God. I don't know if you remember the man, the rich young ruler, who Jesus said to him, give up all your money. And he didn't like that, it says in the text, because he was very wealthy. So if God said to you, I want you to give up all your money because this is the test of whether God's first. If God tells you to give up, and he doesn't very often, you'll be grateful to hear, to give up something that we have in our lives and say, give it up. Like maybe all of our money. Could you do it? We don't want to because money makes us feel secure. And God says, put your worship and your security in me and not in created things. It might be in our job. Or I love gadgets. I tend to worship gadgets. I have to be careful I don't worship gadgets before God. It's borderline sometimes. My reputation. We love our reputation in our society. And we don't want to be looked at badly. But sometimes, as we say, I remember vividly before I became a Christian, somebody challenging me whether I was a Christian or not. And I kind of was exploring it and quite interested. But when I was pushed, I went no, because I didn't want to lose my reputation. And God walked away from me that day. And it was a long time afterwards before I found him again. You see, our health, our clothes, our cars, our sports, whether we watch them or take part in them, our hobbies, TV, shopping, house, children, grandchildren. Sometimes we can put these things before God. I'm amazed how many people don't come to church because they find something more important to do, to worship. We need to put God first in everything. And our security, our love and our worship, for God is a jealous God. But the consequences of both doing it and not doing it are huge. Listen to this as the consequences of not doing it. Verse 5. Punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Hate is not a feeling you have here. It's talking about not obeying God, not worshipping him first. And the consequences not only are for us, but up to a fourth generation in our families or our friends. The consequence is far bigger than us. And I've seen some statistical research, which I don't have time to go into, to show how generation after generation is blessed when people choose to put God first and to worship Him. And look what happens when you do that, verse 6. But showing love to 1,000 generations, and that just simply means eternity. It means you'll see people in heaven because you have chosen to put God first. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love and keep my commandments. The blessing is bigger than us and our eternity. It's for our children's eternity when we choose to put God first and to worship Him rather than our idols of created things. It's good to worship things and to love things in this life. The old wedding ceremony of those of you who got married under the BCP actually used to say that men had to worship their wives. It didn't mean that means that they loved them beyond all other women. But we're first called to worship, to love God before anything else. There is our security, not God in a box. Let's allow God to be a mysterious God for which we haven't got all the answers. We don't know everything. And to be awe and like a small child in awe of a father. Let's just worship God, even though we don't understand Him, even though we can't accept and understand everything He does. Let's put Him first and worship Him first and not created things. Let's put them second. We can love them. We can have them. But let's put God first. Amen.